If you have a Bible with you, I'm going to speak for just a little while before we baptize those that are going through the waters today. And if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and just a few verses from verse 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. We know this passage well. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Amen. It'll be no surprise to you this morning at this baptism service that I will want to speak to you about baptism and what it means in terms of what the Bible clearly teaches us about this important ordinance. And so the title for my message today is, What does baptism mean for a follower of Jesus Christ? What does baptism mean for a follower of Jesus Christ? The young son of a Baptist minister was in church one morning when he saw, as a young child, for the very first time, some baptisms that his father was doing by total immersion. He was greatly impressed by witnessing this event, and the next morning he thought he'd like to replicate what he'd seen the day before, so he proceeded to baptize his three cats in the bathtub at home. The first kitten bore it well, so did the second, which was a young cat, but the old family cat rebelled. It struggled with him, it clawed him, it bit him, and it got away. The young boy, with considerable effort, decided that he wanted to try again, and so he again caught the cat and proceeded with the ceremony. But the old cat acted worse than ever and simply refused to be baptized. Finally, after barely getting her splattered with water, he dropped her on the floor in disgust and exclaimed, Fine, be an atheist then. And of course, in many ways, that story indicates for us, in some way, what baptism is. Baptism is essentially initiation. The word baptize and baptism are transliterations of Greek words. The verb baptizo appears 79 times in the New Testament, and the word baptisma found 22 times, so 101 times in all in the New Testament. I find that very significant, that baptism is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. The word baptistes is used 14 times, and it's used to refer to John actually in the act of baptizing someone, the one who is baptized. And I think John probably is improperly called John the Baptist, because he should be called John the Immerser. Because the word baptizo literally means to immerse. That's what it means. And in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was outpoured upon the church, in the apparent confusion of what the crowds had witnessed on that day, it was the Apostle Peter that stood up and explained what was happening. And after listening to what Peter told them, the response from the people in Acts 2:37 was this. And you know this verse very well. After hearing Peter, they said, What must we do to be saved? It's a question that many people ask today. What does it mean to be saved? What must we do to be saved? And in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, Peter tells them very, very clearly. He says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what was the outcome to that challenge? Again, if you go to Acts 2 and verse 41, it says in verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the church that day. What a response! What a result! People heard the preaching of the word of God, and many responded positively by being baptized. And that's my first point this morning, friends. Baptism is always a response to faith. Baptism is always a response to faith. We could say the proof of the pudding is in the eating. I looked up the Oxford Dictionary to see what that really meant. And this is what the Oxford Dictionary said. It said, the real value of something can be judged only from practical experience or results and not from appearance or theory. And so baptism is a response to real faith. In the New Testament church, it was normal for those who had come to faith and had made a commitment to Jesus Christ to be baptized. Baptism follows faith. Baptism follows faith. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. You know this story very well. Philip the evangelist is walking along the road and he sees this chariot and he hears an Ethiopian official from the court of Queen Candace, and he overhears him reading from the book of Isaiah. And he runs alongside the chariot, and he says to the Ethiopian, he says, do you understand what you were reading? And in Acts 8, the Ethiopian replies, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And he invites Philip into the chariot, and verse 35 tells us that beginning with the very passage of Scripture that the Ethiopian was reading, he told him about the good news of Jesus. So Philip preached the gospel to him. And after hearing Philip, the Ethiopian says to him, look, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? Now the point I'm making is this. Whatever Philip told the official about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it must have included baptism, because the Ethiopian didn't make it up. It didn't just come to him. What Philip explained to him from the book of Isaiah, what Philip explained to him about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, must have included baptism, because immediately afterwards the Ethiopian asked to be baptized. The official responded by being baptized. Baptism is the normal response to faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is the normal response to hearing the good news of Jesus. Let me give you some examples from the New Testament. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas and the jailer. You remember that Paul and Silas were held in prison, but at midnight they sang praises to God, and God set them free. Hallelujah. He broke the chains and let them out. Do you know God is still in the business of breaking people's chains? Hallelujah. And it says in verse 31, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And it says of the jailer, and he was baptized at once with his family. He responded to what Paul and Silas had told him about Jesus by being baptized. Look at Lydia, the businesswoman. She was a seller of purple, it says in Acts 16. The Bible says the Lord opened her heart to give heed to what was said by Paul, and she was baptized, she and her household. Look at the Samaritan's response to Philip's preaching in Acts 8. Listen to these words. When they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Friends, baptism follows faith. At Corinth, in response to Paul's preaching, in Acts 18, it says, many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and they were baptized. My friend, it's an inescapable biblical fact that in the early church, baptism always followed faith and commitment in Jesus Christ. It is our response to faith. Secondly, baptism is a measure of my regard for God's word. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about obedience, particularly obedience to what it says the truth, what it calls the truth. And by the truth, it means obedience to what God has revealed to us in the Bible. Again, let me give you some examples. 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter. Now you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Peter here is speaking to us of being purified by obeying the truth. So it is that obedience to God's word by which we are born again that purifies us. A wonderful proof text of this can be found in the very words of Jesus in John 15 and verse 3, when he says, "Now you are clean." How? "Through the word which I have spoken unto you." You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He repeats this in Ephesians 5 when he says Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. What an amazing phrase that is. The washing of water through the word. When we hear the word of God, and when I read the word of God, when I read my Bible, it has a cleansing effect on me. It has a purifying effect on me. I'm challenged. I'm blessed. When I read the pages of Scripture, God speaks to me. There was a lady in our church, I won't mention her name, and her mother has just started taking up a Bible reading plan. And she was an occasional Bible reader, but some months ago she really decided, she got challenged and she really decided she was going to read the Bible every day. Do you know, that lady told me last week that there's been an absolute transformation in her mother's spiritual life since she's been reading the Bible every day. And here at River of Life, we bang on a lot about reading the Bible every day. And I tell you why. If you read the Bible every day, it will change your spiritual life. And if you don't read the Bible every day, it will not change your spiritual life. You need to read the Bible every day. It's the most important thing you can do as a Christian. And so this morning, let the word wash you. Let the word wash you. The washing of water through the word. That's an interesting word, because in Acts 10:48, when Peter is in the house of Cornelius, and you remember Cornelius comes to know the Lord in Acts chapter 10, afterwards it says Peter ordered, that's what it says in the New International Version, Peter ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Greek word ordered there is the word protasso. And it literally means a strong command, a real direction. And you know, baptism is not an optional extra for the Christian. The Bible tells me that it's a command. It seems to me in the early church that baptism was not merely relegated to an optional extra. It formed part of the initiation process for true believers. Let me take you back to Acts 16 and the jailer. Look at the four steps in the process. There was repentance, there was faith, there was regeneration, and there was baptism. Acts 16, verse 30. Look at it now. Acts 16, verse 30. The jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, there's the inquiry. What must I do? And the answer is given in verse 31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Then there is teaching, verse 32, "They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house." And finally there was the response, verse 33, "Then immediately he and all his household were baptized." Repentance, faith, regeneration, culminating in baptism. They were the sequential steps of initiation into the Christian faith and into the church as the living body of believers. Baptism is our first step of obedience. and it has a lot to do with how I regard my obedience to the Word of God and how I respond to God. So baptism is my response to faith, and baptism is my obedience to the Word of God. And finally, and with this I'm going to close this morning, baptism is a public recognition that I am a present-day disciple of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, one of the last things that Jesus told his disciples to do was to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those words have become known to us as the Great Commission. Some people have changed that to mean the Great Suggestion. It is not a great suggestion. It is a great commission. It's a command. Jesus said that the making of a disciple was clearly linked with being baptized. There's no doubt about that. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, he said. And it is because baptism is a public declaration of one's intention to follow Christ. It is often referred to as one's confession of faith. One aspect of being made a disciple is the first step of baptism. The idea of making a disciple is a beautiful term. The word disciple is the word mathetos, which literally means a learner. So it carries the idea of a believer being a learner, but also we could say it's a believing learner or a learning believer. Make believing learners of all Jesus. Of all Jesus meant to say, make learning believers. It's not simply one who believes, or you'd have another word here. It's not simply one who learns, or you'd have another word. It is a believing learner, one who places faith in Christ and who follows Christ in a life of learning. As Jesus put it in John 8:31, it is the one who continues in my word. He is the disciple. He is the mathetos. He is the learner who genuinely follows Christ. And so it follows, how does one make a disciple? If we use the definition of a disciple above, it follows then it must be inserting those purposes into the lives of those people whom we are privileged to lead. And I strongly believe that this is the work of the church. This is the role of the church. We set up an environment that helps people along a developmental path, and such these purposes become fully integrated in their lives. It's not about programs. It's not about meetings only. It's about following Jesus as an individual. We preach those precepts and those teachings from the pulpit. We model them in our lives. We provide opportunities for people to learn and live them out individually and in fellowship with others. We expect them to mature and envision and equip others. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. At River of Life, we're not really interested about growing a church. We're interested about growing a people. Amen? About maturing, about being disciples, about being followers of Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we learn again what it really means to be a disciple and what baptism means, that we will understand that it means following Jesus, means being a follower of Him, being a learner of Him, and being able to share Jesus with others. May God bless His word to our hearts today, and may we be inspired as we see others today obey Him and follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. Amen? Amen. Amen. Will you please just stand with me for a moment as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for all the blessings that You give us day by day. We thank You for the challenge of Your word. We thank You, Lord, You call us to be followers and disciples of You. And Lord, we pray that we shall indeed go out into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel to every creature. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise there too. For you said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Son, our Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.